Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Well, good morning, everyone. Would you stand with us, please? I know we kind of threw a little curveball at you here as things coming together. We're going to go into Exodus chapter 12, verses 31 through 41 in just a moment. I just want to settle into something right now. You know, it's amazing when we sing to the Lord and we just allow the Holy Spirit just kind of marinate over us. There's something amazing that God wants to do in all of us today. Can you kind of sense there's, you know, it says we want to invade the atmosphere of our hearts. And I believe that God is going to do something amazing for all of us as we just come to that place of surrender to Him. Today, it's kind of interesting. I was thinking about, Lord, why would I be speaking on this right after Easter Sunday morning and Resurrection Sunday? And the title is No Shortcut to Your Destiny. And that sounds kind of out there. But I think God's going to speak something to us that will probably resonate in us through all week long of the things that we do that will sometimes circumvent what God wants to do. So we're going to go into Exodus chapter 12, verses 31, and we're going to see what God has to say to us. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said." And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead." Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing.
And the Lord had given the people great favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians.
Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leaven, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. Verse 41 together. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, on the very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went from out of the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. Father God, today there's something you're going to show us. After 430 years, Lord, your children were able to leave their land of bondage. And God, there's something for us today to realize that sometimes we feel like we're so oppressed, we're so under bondage, we're so under these various oppressive states. But Lord, there comes a time when we have been set free. But you know, the amazing thing about it, God, is we can't take a shortcut. We got to wait for you to do it. Lord, I want you to heal us from this idea of being so anxious and trying to break free under our own power. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit power would prevail over us today. And Lord, we would receive your release from the bondages that we've been in. But Lord, do it in your time. And I pray that you would speak to us through your word today. God, there are people here today that this is their day. This is the day you've appointed for them. But as we make our journey, God, Holy Spirit, guide us through every aspect of it. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory, if we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said.
Amen.
Before you sit down, I want you to turn to somebody and tell them this. Don't get anxious. God's got this. You can be seated. I wrote a couple words down, and you'll understand what this is all about in just a moment. Our destiny is determined by the distinctives that the Lord has allowed us to, has allowed to become a part of our lives. You know what that means? There are some things that you will go through that I have no clue what it's all about. It's how I go through it that's going to make a difference. Some of you ask a question, Lord, why do I have to go through this? And why do I have to go through this? 430 years is a long time. Anybody say, work with me, people. And sometimes we've been in bondage for a week and we're having a fit. I mean, we can't get the microwave to work and we're on a major meltdown. I want to tell you, God has got timing. And it's not synchronized with the way you want it to be. And so one of the things that we're going to at least learn in the introduction to this, we'll spend a couple of weeks on this whole process, but you know, there's some distinctives that God is working out in you. One of the hardest things for us to overcome is our desire to be like something that God has never equipped us to be. You're so busy trying to be something that you'll never be and that God doesn't want you to be. But I believe that, you know, in this process, you say, well, what is God doing with children that long? Now, I'm going to speak to a couple of things. I hope it doesn't hurt anybody's feelings. But then again, I'm really not too concerned. That's a real nice one. Well, praise God. See, I got myself off the hook already. So, but we talk about things like, for instance, a lot of the inequities that go on in our society. And I've never made that an issue. By God's grace, I've been a lead pastor at this church for about 40 years. And I've never been a racially profiling individual. I've never got raised a race card issue as a kind of excuse to be crazy. Really, I'm going to be honest with you. Today, you might think I am. Because I was kind of studying this whole thing. I said, you know what? Moses, I can identify with you being an oppressed person for a long period of time. And I'm just going to open the window just a little bit to help you understand. I know what it's like when you feel like you have been done wrong and there's nothing you can do about it. It was 1964. I was the student body president of Benson High School. God allow this to happen. I won't tell you the story behind it because it's too long of a story. I didn't even want to run for the office, but my mama said, run for the office. I did what mama said. See, there are some things that are not optional. They're just under the order of obedience. But the deal was this. So I ran for the office, and the crazy thing about it was there were like 1,400 votes that were cast for this particular thing. I didn't even think I'd win the election. I won the election by 1,139 people. That's not the miracle. The miracle is I couldn't believe it even happened. Because of, come on, get with me, folks. In case you didn't realize it, I am black. Oh, somebody gonna get saved today because we're gonna deal with this issue. So the deal is, so being under oppression, this type of thing, and I never expected this to happen. I want to let you know there are things that you don't expect are going to happen. God's going to use whatever you thought was going to be a disadvantage for your advantage. So the story goes like this. So that happened, but here's the thing. So there was a tradition. How many of you remember Girls Polytechnic High School? Anyway, you can go back that far. The rest of you, you're too young. What are you doing here? So Girls Polytechnic High School was Benson was all boys school. Girls Poly was an all girls school. Obviously, Girls Poly. Well, there you go. Okay. The tradition was that the president of Benson High School would escort the queen from Girls Poly as her escort during the Rose Festival. Work with me, folks. Let's see now. You know where I'm going with this. All of a sudden, there was a revelation from somebody, and I remember Mr. Anderson called me. He says, back in those days, they called me Dick. Dick, this year we decided we're going to do something different. Rather than have the president of the student body escort the queen. We're going to let the vice president do it this year. I was saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, but I was mad as a wet hen. But you know what? I let it go. Because it wasn't time yet. Let me fast forward this to, that was in 1964. I want to take you to 1981 when they were having race riots at Madison High School. And the same principal that told me we don't need you escorting that girl at the Rose Festival, I need you over at Madison High School to help me resolve a racial issue at my high school. And you know what God said? Go help him. I want to tell you, God has timing for everything in your life. But you have to be ready to accept your assignment when he gives it to you. Amen. You don't get to add your emotion and all this other stuff to it. You get to do what God has told you to do in that specific moment. It was time for Israel to move on. But I'll tell you what, it took a lot of suffering for 430 years. I want to tell you the very first thing is there's no shortcuts to get to the place where God is taking you. And we're going to learn about that in the next few moments. I hope you don't mind being personal like that, but I want to tell you, I'm not going to talk about something I haven't experienced. You have to wait on God doing these things. Here's the three things we'll talk about. First of all, are you suffering in a wilderness, knowing that you, you could have taken a shortcut to get to your desired destination? Some of you right now are in a wilderness experience. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It could be financial. It could be physical, it could be emotional, but you're suffering in the wilderness. But I want to let you know, God has not forgotten about you. And this could be your day of freedom. Second thing is this, has your exodus from your former Egypt lost its impact due to circumstances that you are now facing that you were not expecting? You thought when you got saved, well, it's over now, I'm good. Everything's just smooth sailing from then on. Anybody been on that ride? Give me a ticket, baby, because that is not my ride. What about the last thing I'll just suggest to you? Are your behaviors and actions comparable to the deliverance that the Lord has promised you in your future? Now, we're going to pick up a couple more scriptures that'll tie this together, because we're going to spend a little time getting to know Moses and his experience, and I think you'll leave here liberated from some of the things you desire. Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. Moses was prepared for his assignment from birth. First one says this. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shaphrah, and the other one was Puah. And he said to them, when you do your duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, see them on the birth stools. If it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. Moses was supposed to be dead. Some of you, according to the devil, weren't supposed to make it here to church today. But God said something different and change the whole atmosphere, and you are here today. I want you to listen. God's got something to tell you. Nothing comes by an accident when you're in the providence of God. So, well, I just feel like I'm going to, no, honey, no. God has a purpose. Next little scriptures, we have a couple of them together. Read the next two, or bring the next to me. Oh, actually it is. But the midwives feared God. It did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. Now the next two scriptures are chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to the Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. Let me fill in the blank for you, a little bit of what happened. So the idea is that Moses' mother, she has this child. And she raises a child, and he gets to be about 3 months old. At that particular time, it's kind of, you know, hard to conceal the child. So what happens? She puts him in this basket, puts pitch around the basket, sets him adrift. And there's some things that the Bible doesn't say, but I think there's some things we can assume. Is that somewhere in her heart, she says, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm just somehow God's telling me to put my baby in a basket in the river. What kind of sense does that make? I want to tell you one thing. Moses wouldn't have been here if she hadn't have done it. Amen. There are things that God is telling you to do. It doesn't make sense to you. That doesn't really make any sense. God doesn't need you to figure things out. He needs you to be obedient to what he told you to do. Amen. And so the deal is, so she sets him adrift there. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh's daughter, she's down there taking a bath. Hello, okay. And she hears this baby crying, and then bails Moses out of this whole deal. And then she says, I think I'm supposed to take care of this child. This makes no sense. This is directly against what her daddy would want her to do. But because she's his daughter, he ain't gonna say nothing. Oh, you like the little Hebrew baby? That's okay. Go, you can bring him home. That's okay, sugar. She can be yours. He can be yours. You're not an accident. You're not here by default. You're here because God said it's going to happen. And so Moses, in this particular atmosphere, he comes into this household, and thus begins the story of redemption of 430 years of slavery. But I want to let you know that Moses, it doesn't give you a whole lot about what his schooling is like. We know he was schooled in the household of Pharaoh and had all these other types of gifts and things that were brought about. But then the very first place that we find him after all this happens is in a place you wouldn't expect, because he is now grown, and I want to show you his response and sometimes our response after God has done great things in our lives. Because it's important for you to know that we won't always do things right. Everybody perfect, raise your hand. No hands up, then we can move. Oh, I saw you back there. You lying. Smite him. God has a plan in spite of the things that man will try to engineer to try to defeat it. The world, you know, fears one of the greatest things, regardless of the plan to destroy God's people, God's got a plan. I heard something just the other night. I need to share this with you. I was at a Holy Spirit conference. It doesn't matter where it was, but it was in the city. And one of the gentlemen, he spoke up and he said this. He says, Portland. Actually, he was from England. He says, Portland, rather wild city, rather strange. But I have this impression in my spirit that in the next 5 years, this will be an epicenter of a revival on the West Coast. You have no idea how that resonated in my spirit, because I can say amen, yes, yea, verily, God, whatever you want to do, I want to be a part of what you're going to do, because when it seems most impossible, that's when God starts to move. Yeah. Are we a candidate for revival? Absolutely. Is this one of the darkest places on the continental United States? It certainly is. Is it one of the most godless places there is? The most liberal place there is? Absolutely. That does not stop the Spirit of God from moving the way he wants to move. One person said this, and I'm going to repeat it today. You know something? You have not, and I have not, done the final deeds that will usher in the kingdom of God. God wants a greater amount of praise and adoration and strength and wisdom out of us. This is just a rehearsal for what God wants out of your life. So what does that mean? Simply this. Well, in spite of being raised in the culture, here's what happens with Moses. Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Oh boy, here we go. Exodus chapter 2. Now it came to pass in those days that when Moses was grown, how many of y'all grown here? I know you're afraid to raise your hand because of your childish ways, but that's another story, okay? That he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Moses didn't know there was activism resident in him, which means that even though he was raised in the culture of the Egyptians, he knew deep down inside of him, I'm a Hebrew. These are my peeps. People, for those of you who didn't know what peeps means. Sorry. These are my people. Okay, got it. Okay. He saw this Egyptian beating the Hebrew. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Whoa. Way to go, Mo. But really, I can't blame him. Because there was something inside of him that God needed to work out. And it's the same thing he needs to work out inside of you and me. We think we can do it by impulse or by the things that hinder us inside, that we've got to do something. We decide, I just can't help myself. And you know what God's going to tell you today? I don't need your help to do anything. I need your obedience to do everything. And so what happens at this particular point, he was kind of, anybody looking? Well, go on a little further into verse 13. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you still striking your companion? And then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you did, as you killed the Egyptian? So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Wow. God will make it very clear to you that he doesn't need your justice. He doesn't need your activism. I've already said he needs your obedience, but also he needs you to be willing to wait for the right timing for this to occur. And that's the hardest part of it. And so let me just kind of bring us into where I believe God's going to take us before we stop today. On our best day, we cannot come up with a plan to fulfill God's timing and his ultimate purpose. We can't do it. I know I've tried, and it doesn't work. But Moses discovered that in spite of living in the culture of Pharaoh's household, his allegiance was to a greater plan and a greater future. I'm try to be culturally aware of what's going on in Portland and in the United States. And I came across some news the other day that really alarmed me. Maybe you saw it on CNN News or whatever news thing you watch, or maybe you don't know about it. Maybe this will be new news to you. But whether you realize it or not, people have got their idea of how they're going to reform or refine our culture. Now, I want to ask how many of you are on Facebook, because I don't want to shame nobody. But I know some of you succumb to that. It's okay. You won't go to hell for going on Facebook. You'll be highly, whatever, let me leave it alone. Building number 8 on the Facebook campus is housed with at least 60 scientists. These 60 scientists have devoted themselves to their latest project, which is this. They are devising an interface between your cell phone and its ability to capture your brain waves, where you will no longer have to type on your cell phone, but it will capture your brain waves, and as you think it, it will write it for you on your cell phone. Go ahead and laugh. It's not too far away. And the reason why they're doing it is so you'll be able to engage me in conversation, make me think I'm looking at you instead of looking down at your little cell phone, punching out some particular thing, and your brain will be typing out a message on your cell phone and you'll be able to sort of try to communicate with me. It's not that far away. He said, oh no. And you worried about the mark of the beast. That's candy. Compared to the things that they're trying to do to distract you from the presence of the Holy Spirit, who knows all things, whatever thing you need to know, he can tell you ahead of time, whatever thing discernment that you need, it's all contained in God. The man is trying his best to replace the Spirit of God with the spirit of man, and God's not going to have it. Let's just get back to Mo and his problem. Pharaoh found out about it, and Moses had to leave. And the next place he finds himself out in the desert somewhat, and he aligns himself to a man out there who's a sheep herder. And for the next 40 years, God's working on him. I said 40, not four. Not 4 months. 40 years. If there's one thing I want to get through to you today, is your timetable will never be God's timetable. Some things he'll do in an instant, and some things you're going to have to wait, and sometimes he doesn't tell you which is which. Well, so here's what it's really about. Finding out your true identity and purpose. And this is what Moses struggled was with. He woke up, as it were. Remember, at 3 months, he's adopted. And he's gotten through all this learning and this type of thing. But he always knew there was something different about himself than anybody else in the household of Pharaoh. I don't know who told him. It could have been his mother who was actually who nursed him. She might have been rocking him to sleep, and at some point she says, my little Moses, someday you'll be the one who leads our people out of bondage. I don't know whether she told him or not, but I know at one point he knew he was different than everybody else. And he had an assignment that was from God. You've got an assignment that only you can fulfill. And God's going to speak it over you in several different ways today. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock back to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. I want to give you an assignment. Go to the backside of the desert so God can talk to you. Get off the front page, off the limelight where everything's going on. Don't mind if when God sits you in that obscure place where you feel like that no one really is going to notice what you're doing. That's the best place for you. Get off of the place where everything seems to be just kind of going your way, and get out of that place where God can get a hold of you like he has never got a hold of you before. Well, the next thing he says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire in the midst of a bush. And so he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. I want to take a little bit of license here. It may not be license, but I think it's observation. It is very likely, and I believe it's true, that Moses had seen this bush before. I want to talk to you about the things that you are familiar with, but all of a sudden, God is going to transform them right before your very eyes into something different than you've ever seen before. Ever been reading through Scripture, all of a sudden, oh, that comes off there. I never saw that there before. It was there all the time. But all of a sudden, you are in a place to realize that God wanted to speak to you through this particular scripture, and it's illuminated to you, and it changes you forever. I want to tell you, in your time with God, that's when God wants to really speak deep into your spirit. And so the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame from the midst of the bush. And so, and it's on fire, it's burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Let me tell you about the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says that tongues of fire fell upon rested upon the heads of each and one of them, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, and likewise began to speak with tongues. We're going to talk about that more in the weeks to come, because June 5th, I believe, is Pentecost Sunday, and all I've got to say is get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not for that date, but for all the things that God's going to do to remind you of what that's all about. Go on to the next scripture, please. Number 3. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. You got to make a choice today. Turn aside from this bush you've probably seen many times. We said, there's something about this I need to take note of. God is trying to get your attention through something that's been familiar in your life. And so and it doesn't take an explanation. It's like, oh, that's right. And all of a sudden it comes into your mind, that's what God's been trying to tell me all this time. Pretty amazing. Well, simply, God will do this. Separation often leads to preparation for our future. God went to lengths to separate Moses from the household of Pharaoh, which is great. But it was preparation for his future. And now he's out in the desert, and now he's seeing visions from God, and now he's seeing this burning bush. But there's something he has to do in order for this really to come to pass. And so the bush is burning and this type of thing. And God gives him some specific instructions, which I'll read to you, that I think it makes some really good sense for this to happen, that this is the part that it will not come to a fulfillment unless we're willing to do this. He says, I'll turn aside. Then he says, and now when the Lord saw that he turned aside, the Lord, he called to him from the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not draw near to this place. Take off your sandals of your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Turn to your neighbor and says, take your shoes off. I'm going to take mine off. Watch this. There goes one. Can I reach the other one? Yeah, let's try this. I got to prop myself up here. There goes two. The reason why I did that, for a reason. To illustrate to you that the way you walked before, you're going to walk differently once you talk to God. You just can't walk anywhere you want to walk. Now, with my shoes on, there are some places I can walk, but without my shoes on, there are some places I dare not walk. I want to tell you, God sets limitations on you when you take it. First of all, you got to recognize the ground you're standing on is holy ground. There should be no separation between you and the holiness of God being transferred into your spirit so you can be all that God wants you to be. Take off that which separates you from having the power of God manifest in your life. Take off your shoes. There's a prison. I think it's Attica Prison. Is that the one in New York? Do you know that? Yeah. Okay. Remember Scared Straight? They take all these hard teenagers there who thought they were so bad and such like this, and they put them face to face with criminals. But you know what the first thing they did? They took their shoes and they threw them in a pile. Something happens to you when you no longer have your shoes. And when you see them in a... Yeah, oh yeah. And when you see them in a pile that you may never... You say, they didn't take my shoes. You can't hardly think straight. Because they took my shoes. I want to give you, take a little, another twist on that, that will help you understand about our entitlement mentality. My two youngest children are Romanian, and I adopted them from Romania. But one of the things that they told me was the most amazing thing to them was when they were in the orphanage, from week to week, they would get one change of clothes, but it was never the same one they had the week before. The only thing they would get assigned to do is you just go find something that fits you, because you don't own anything. If you need something to wear, you better hope it fits, because it won't be till next week you get a chance at something that will possibly fit and take care of you. When the Lord tells us to take off our shoes, there's a purpose behind that whole thing. He says, I don't want you to be separated from me in any way, shape, or form, because there's something I'm about to do. I want to expedite this to this. Finding our true identity will require us to do things that we've never done before. What does that mean? Well, these last few thoughts, I think, will sum it up for you. We must be willing to answer the call of God. We must acknowledge the place where we're standing is familiar, but now it has been declared holy. He'd been on that ground before. He says, but God says, when I tell you it's holy, it's holy. So I know this place. No. But God said, I've transformed it into something totally different. Well, simply put, think of this. We must be willing to change our identity based upon the word of the Lord from the midst of the bush. Verses 9 through 12. Here we go. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Move on to the next couple of verses. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt? And so he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. We're chosen for an assignment based upon what the Lord believes about us. I want to talk to some of you people here that don't believe you can accept the assignment from God. 40 years after Moses has been out there with his father-in-law. He's raised some sheep out there with them and such of this nature. And he was just on an ordinary day. He's doing his stuff. But I can suppose, and I think I'm right with this. When God says to him, I got an assignment for you, you're going to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, he says, no. You don't remember what happened 40 years ago. I killed somebody. I don't trust myself. I don't know how you can trust me. I want you to stop a moment, and this is not therapy, it's reality. I want you to think about something that you believe that would disqualify you from fulfilling God's plan in your life. Something you did, something you said, something you neglected to do, something you neglected to say. And then I want you to hear God say, but I called you. God didn't make a mistake. Let me just take you a little bit further than that. Some of you could sit right now and list out various sins of disobedience that you performed just last week, maybe even this morning. But it still doesn't take away from the fact that God has called you and given you assignment. He's not going to renege on his assignment. You just need to change your posture. Amen. What about this? The Lord does not send us alone, but rather his presence goes with us. He's not saying, I'm going to send you out there. Hope you make it. He says, I'm going to go before you, and there's other things we'll talk about in next week to come. But here's one thing that you need to remember. Whoever you believe you are is how you will respond to the word of the Lord over your life. Let me repeat that. Whoever you believe you are right now is how you respond to the word of the Lord over your life. If you believe you're a failure, that's exactly how you respond. But if you believe you're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, you will respond totally differently. If you believe that God loves you with an unabandoned love, then you will respond out of love, not out of the fact that you deserve it, but the fact that he loves me. And the least I can do is be honorable toward him. I'm going to respond to the love of God in my life. I know I don't deserve it, but because of his love, I'm going to do everything he's asked me to do. Folks, you need to respond on the basis of if God called you, he knows what he's doing. He knows every crazy thing you've done, every crazy thing I've done. But he still allows me to hopefully put hope into your life. Oh, boy. Wow. I guess it's the last little thing I want to say before we're done. Our behavior follows our identity. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We'll put them on the screen. Worship team, you can make your way up here as we do this. Matthew chapter 3. And when he had baptized Jesus, came out of immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Just hold it right there for a moment. We just talked about the Holy Spirit, him being here. Welcome here. I need to tell you, the Holy Spirit is here right now. Right now. This will determine every single person in this room how you identify with the Spirit of God. What Jesus experienced at his baptism is the same thing you will experience in the next few moments if you'll just listen carefully to what I have to tell you. The Holy Spirit established forever. You know, you say, well, why did he need to say this to Jesus? Jesus knew he was the Son of God. Jesus knew that he was special. Jesus knew that and all these other different types of things. Really? But he made a statement so that no one would question, even at the time when he himself questioned, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, as you will. Why would Jesus even bring that up? Because he's human. And here's the thing for us as human beings. We need to know that we belong to Jesus all the time. And so he says in this last verse, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The question is, can the Lord say that over you today? And some of you say, well, no, he can't say he's well pleased over me because of this, because of that, because of this thing I'm struggling with, that thing I'm struggling with. You know the Holy Spirit's not going to withhold that from you if you put your trust and confidence in him. What does it take for the Lord to be well pleased with you? I'm going to put a pause here, but for today, I want to tell you that Moses, who we're going to look at for next week or two, when the Lord tells him, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground, he tells him, you're totally qualified for what I want you to do. And it's not based on anything you have done or can do. It's because I have chosen to go with you. Jesus has chosen to go with you today, and the power of the Holy Spirit is upon you. Bow your heads with me, everybody. 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 In the stillness of this moment, there's something I wanted to, and I'll say it lightly and whisper into your spirit. God is not angry with you for the things you failed to do or the disobedience that you performed against what you know you should have done. He loves you. He will forgive you. But you need to acknowledge you need His forgiveness. I want you to keep your heads bowed for a moment, and I want to just give you a picture of what I see in the Spirit right now. I see people in this room that are embarrassed. That are horrified over the things that they've done. And they sometimes come to church just hopefully that they'll feel better, that they'll hear something or they'll sing something or they'll experience something that will erase the guilt, the shame, the heartache out of their lives. I'm going to tell you to do something that I did a few minutes ago. Holy Spirit just put that in my mind. If you'd be willing to do this, before you come down to this altar, just take off your shoes, put them in a safe place, leave them behind, and just let your feet just hit the floor as you come to Jesus, saying, Lord, we know this isn't a holy ground, this isn't a holy place, but in simulation of what Moses did, I'm willing to leave my shoes behind and to walk before you in your presence and for us to connect on a level like we never have before. I want to invite you today to have an encounter with God that's more than just symbolism. But it's, you're putting something aside that's been a barrier that separated you from doing what God wants you to do. With heads bowed, with eyes closed, if you need to adjust your posture, I need you to take your shoes off. I want you to do it right now. Do it.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.